Sacred space is simply a space in which you create for yourself that is yours.
So a sacred space is a small and private and special place that's dedicated for your meditation time, your self-love time, and just that time for you to spend with nobody but you.
Your entire house really should be a sacred place, as it's a reflection of your mind.
So this is my sacred space. I use this on a daily basis for yoga, meditation, journaling.
The Wise Guides is a conversation show hosted by me, Amber Petty, that aims to extract some beautiful pearls of wisdom from our fabulous female guests who, like all of us, have learnt something about life worth sharing with the world. I walk into a white room. It has a large window to the right, with sunlight streaming through the Venetian blinds. Along the windowsills are candles, white, green and soft pink crystals, and a silver elephant, which appears to have a green dangly earring hanging from it. There's a white dining room table along the window area, and just above the wall straight ahead is a beautiful Art Deco gold mirror. It looks like the sun from a fairy tale. The light camel suede couch has green raw silk cushions on it and a larger pink velvet cushion in the middle with turquoise birds and leaves scattered across it. There's a white-painted palm coffee table with books stacked on its lower shelves and green, blue and silver magazine covers on top. There's a triage of enamel pictures from Vietnam with a beautiful woman on each hanging on the wall next to the front door. The place smells like incense, Nag Champa, and there's a wonderful, peaceful energy about this place. It makes me smile. It feels like home, because it is. It's my home. Now, the point of this story is not to try and secure myself a place on the next series of The Block. We don't do putty or drills in my home. But the point is, everything about this room, all of its rooms, I have put thought and love into. The colours need to make me feel good. They're not chosen because they're the latest colours in an issue of Vogue Living. They're chosen because they're my colours, my peaceful, happy colours. It's full of light because I chose a home that had huge 1950s windows with their original blinds because I feel more positive and inspired when I can enjoy the light that comes in. I'm grateful every single time I walk into the lounge room because it reminds me of how much I have learned about creating my own sacred space, doing my own small rituals like lighting a candle and going through my home with some incense. Because it was a time years ago when I did not have a bloody clue about the importance of home, and it seriously began to take its toll on my life.
Hi, I'm Naha Armadi, and I'm a healer and an intuitive counselor and a metaphysician.
Naha, it's funny because you, one of the places, I don't know whether it's the only place that you work from, but House of Intuition, and that is, that's in Silver Lake, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Because last October I decided to have a little writing retreat. I had to finish my, or attempt to finish my book I've been writing called The Daisy Chain, and I thought, okay, I can only take about a week off work. I want to go somewhere that I guess sort of brings out the writer and the dreamer in me and the storyteller. So I thought, okay, Los Angeles is good for that. I have a very close friend over there too, so I wanted to see her. But what I did was, which is probably perfect to talk about this sacred space and creating rituals and honouring yourself, but I got an Airbnb room in Silver Lake. And the reason why I said, you know, is House of Intuition in Silver Lake was because I made an appointment and I thought, I went, oh, okay, I'm going to get a healing or a reading or a something while I'm there. And I just looked online and the first thing that came up was House of Intuition. So on the day, I wasn't quite sure how, where, you know, proximity was, and I'm not very good with maps. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just walk to the address. So I set off on foot in a pair of very cheap.
And nobody does that in Los Angeles. Nobody walks anywhere. So right off the bat, you're like, I'm just going to go for it.
My God, I'm telling you. Okay, so obviously Silver Lake's actually quite a big suburb, but what about stupid old me? So honestly, I was in this flat pair of cheap shoes, which is so dumb to even go traveling in, but I didn't realize that I'd be walking this far. I set off on foot and whatever, I'm going down Sunset or whatever. I still don't even remember but it's the big road that leads probably from
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. And I set off and I kept walking and I kept walking and I kept walking. And no, I'm not I'm not passing other people really doing the same thing. And I don't mean this with any respect, but as I was walking along and I'm starting to get a little more nervous because I get scared, I've got no sense of direction. And the street signs were just getting a little more kind of, you know, it was like a lot of Marlboro smoking signs. And then there was a really aggressive Trump sign. And I'm thinking, oh God, where am I going? Like, seriously, I'm going to get shot in the head. Because we're a little bit ignorant over here in Australia. Sometimes we think that if you go to America, you immediately get shot. Like that used to be a little bit of the feeling. So you grow up with these.
Sure, I believe it.
And we watch a lot of American crime shows. So we grow up pretty much thinking the minute you get off the plane, you may get shot. Anyway, so there was a little bit of that childhood programming going on. So I was sweating a little bit, and also it was incredibly hot. So that was just going to happen anyway. And I finally got to a place where I thought, oh no, any minute now I'm going to have a panic attack, or I just have to give up and get in an Uber and get out of here. Suddenly I kind of looked across the road, and then I looked up a sort of hill. And there, and it was this sign saying, you know, you are here, house of intuition, and arrow that
your intuition
up.
Led you here.
That's it. My intuition led me here. And I just went, okay, I'm okay. No, my intuition led me here. Not my idiot, you know, not thinking anything through. And I was so amazed when I walked up the little stairs, so dehydrated, and I got into this incredible space that is the house of intuition. Yeah. And I thought, wow, look at this, perched in the middle of what seems to be a little bit, you know, like a little tougher area, certainly for the Aussie girl.
Right.
And just incredible.
And you walk up that big staircase and there's a beautiful garden.
Beautiful.
And you have to walk up a little bit more.
Yep.
You walk up a little bit more and it's like entering into, I always say, it's like an oasis in the middle of
it really is.
The city.
It really is. And that even in itself is just incredibly symbolic about what you can create no matter where you were. And obviously I've just shared a bit of a story about how I didn't ever used to place a lot of importance into my surroundings. I didn't honour how I felt once I got home or anything like that. I just went, oh, I'm a gypsy. Oh, no, you know, I don't need couches and all of those, you know, boring things. You know, I just need to have a cool job and, you know, have some cool friends. And of course, what I realised is that I was just becoming such a kind of diluted version of myself because I had literally nowhere to retreat. I mean, I might have had a door and a bed, but none of it felt good. And I actually, my soul was never really resting. And I just love the fact that, and it's not about material things like, you know, you have to spend this or this, but it is literally, I now know that what I need in my home are colors that appeal to me and they make my heart happy.
Right.
I need to have beautiful candles with a scent that makes me happy. I need just the little things, incense. I just need a nice clean sheet and things like that that I never used to do for myself. But I know that obviously you work creating sacred spaces and doing rituals in your work life. And, you know, I've also seen your workspace, which is so beautiful. And I couldn't stop staring. There's crystals. There's just everything that I just love. Just tell us about the importance from your educated standpoint on creating that for yourself and why.
Well, I think you made such a good point earlier when you talked about the fact that you were going to be doing your writing and you wanted to go and get an Airbnb and have some space. I mean, that's half of sacred space, is having somewhere that you can go and be receptive and not be overthinking so that you can listen.
Yeah.
And you can be in tune with the universe. And it was when you were in that space where you said, I'm just kind of getting away from my regular everyday hustle and bustle. And you were able to get yourself centered. And then because you were in that space, you were able to say, you know, I think that what would be good for me is this. And all the pieces could just kind of fall into place. So a big point of even having that space is just giving yourself that time to be still and to listen and to let the answers come to you.
Yeah, and it's really interesting you say that too, because it wasn't a random choice that I chose Silver Lake. I did my I did my research, and what I gathered about Silver Lake was it felt a little bit similar to where I live in Melbourne, in that it was had a bit of a hippie kind of creative vibe, which I like.
Right.
And it said that there was a lot of creative people and writers
there, an artist, and I thought, okay, then that's really where I want to be. And actually the interesting thing was too, it was like, you know, it is, as you said, that calm kind of intent, but taking the time, even a sacred space of thinking about what do I want out of this. So that Airbnb that I stayed at was absolutely beautiful and so peaceful. And even funnily enough, you know, the people that owned the place were very much kept to themselves. So it wasn't, I didn't get caught into feeling like I needed to sort of, you know, sit around and sort of spend time talking and being entertained or vice versa. And also in the little part of Silver Lake that I was in, also because I didn't hire a car and I had my cheap sandals, I couldn't really go that far unless I wanted to Uber it all over the place. So I ended up just in a small kind of corner of Silver Lake where there was lots of great cafes where lots of people were sitting and writing, but it actually was a space where it was like by the end of my week there, I was kind of ready to move on because all I'd done was go from cafe to cafe to cafe. I was starting to see the same people. They were starting to see me. But that was what I needed. I didn't have time for distractions. Yeah. That week was so precious to me and it was all that I could get, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you make that time and space for yourself, you can actually be so much more productive. You can have your head so much more clear. And so it really is twofold. It really feeds your soul on one hand, and then it makes you just that much better to be able to put your efforts into what it is that you're working on and what you're trying to create. Making a sacred space, like I said, I mean, half of it is just about making space, you know, having, giving yourself room, giving yourself internal room. And then the second half of it and what makes it sacred is being intentional.
Yes.
And how you select, what are the things that I do need? And it is something to consider a sacred space. You don't want it to be cluttered.
No.
You want the things that you have there to serve a purpose, even if that purpose is just, this is something that brings me joy. This is something that makes me feel tranquil.
Yes.
So being very conscious and intentional in the selection of, like you were saying, what are the colors that I want? How do I want things to feel? How do I want it to smell? How do I want, you know, all of those are things to consider. And I think that it really is about, you know, it's about keeping it simple and it's just about being intentional and also being selective.
Yeah.
I find that a really good way to create sacred space, and a lot of people do this and they actually don't even realize that they're doing it, but especially when I set up my healing room.
Oh, which is so
gorgeous. One thing that I'm considering. Thank you. Yeah, one thing that I'm considering is that I want to have the four elements present, the four fundamental building blocks of fire, water, air, and earth. And if I can have a representation of each of those things present, then I'm creating a balanced space, and each of those elements also represents something about myself.
So tell me about those four elements, because I dabble in bits and pieces with, you know, tarot and just sort of, you know, I even just going into a gorgeous shop like the House of Intuition and just, you know, picking things up and having a little read and stuff like that. But I'm obviously definitely, and yes, and I have now a house that I absolutely adore and it just brings me joy every time I walk in. And I literally, it's so crazy, and it's not an expensive, you know, house. It's I actually just rent it at the moment. None of the pieces are particularly expensive, but I honestly, at least once a week, I will stand in my room and go, oh, God, I love this room. It just looks so good. And actually just one little item in there that is probably one of the more expensive pieces, this beautiful big sun mirror, and it's just so gorgeous. And it's sort of the first thing that I see as I walk in the door. It's like, hey, welcome home. And it's so beautiful. And I remember I actually bought that in Adelaide in this little shopping strip called King William Road. And I remember walking down this little cobbled street, and I walked past this massive antique shop that I'd seen lots of time before, but I'd actually never been into it. I wasn't necessarily, you know, they were real pieces, you know what I mean? You'd have to be a bit of a collector rather than sort of, you know, rummaging in there for, you know, interesting little cheap pieces. So I walked past it, and right, I could see something shining way, way down the back of this shop. It was a really long shop, and everything else looked really, really dark. And I looked down and I was like, what is that down the end there? It's like, it was just sort of like bursting out, and it was just really hard to describe, but it caught my eye. And it's so much so that I walked in there. I thought, I've got to find out what is that thing that's like so bright and shining and golden down the back of that shop. And I walked all the way down the shop, and it really was massive. And there was this mirror. And I can't even remember where or how that light had ended up bouncing off it, because as it might have had a skylight right down the back or something bizarre, because it was certainly really dark other than that. And I just looked at it and I went, I have to have that. I want that forever. Like, that's really important for me to have. And and it was expensive, but not like ridiculously, but it was just expensive enough that I actually wanted to pay a bit for it. You know what I mean? Because I really wanted, I knew I was going to get a lot out of it. So anyway, it's one of those really special pieces. But I would love to hear more about the four elements and how to balance the room, because I think people would love to kind of know how to do that. Of especially important rooms where there's family and there's comings and goings and decisions and love and that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, a lot of people are kind of doing it, but they don't really realize that they're doing it. Mm. So you having that beautiful sun mirror is so powerful and definitely elemental, because that's the element of fire. So what each element represents is a part of ourselves and our fire, the fire within us, that's our drive.
Yeah.
That's our whole motivation. That's our sense of ourself and our confidence and our courage. And so by having something in your space that represents the symbol of fire, it helps to align you and it helps to have you in that mindset.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you, every time that you look at that, it's something that's reflecting that back to you.
Yeah. And isn't that amazing? As I said, like so often, I almost laugh to myself because I just think it's so funny the way I walk into my place, and the minute I throw that bag down on the ground, I go, I'm home. God, I love this room.
Yeah.
I say it to myself again. But because I walk in and I am literally, it's like, bang, there's my son. There's my kind of part of my who I am resetting me, going, yep, we're here again together.
Yeah, totally. So you can have that fire element present by, for instance, what you have. You have that beautiful sun mirror. Mm-hmm. You could have candles. Your candles, of course, are also going to represent fire.
Of course,
You could just, anything that's the color gold is going to represent that. So you don't necessarily have to have something that is lit, that is actually on fire. It's a representation of that. But if you do it and you have it intentional, and you can say, yes, this is something that helps me to feel fiery and to feel motivated and to feel good about myself. Those are all of the aspects of fire. And fire is also about holding your intention, knowing what your intention is.
But it is about balance. And I know that in previous lifetimes, before I've kind of become more aware of what I need, I think all I was holding was fire. But the problem was I wasn't.
Yeah.
Nothing to put me out a lot of the time.
Everything has to be in balance.
Yes.
You never want to let the pendulum swing all the way over to one side. And that's why when we use the four, you have not only left to right, but also front to back, so that you stand in the center.
Right.
So directly across from fire, we have water.
Mm-hmm.
And the water element corresponds to our feelings and to our heart. And instead of being that energizing sense of self like fire is, water is all about soothing and being able to be open and receptive.
Softer.
It's not about what we're projecting out into the world. Mm. It's what we're taking in. And again, being intentional in what it is that we allow to come in. And that just means having good boundaries with the world.
Yes.
So your water element, you know, and that can be actually having flowers in a beautiful vase. Some people like to have actually like a fountain, or they'll have on their, in their sacred space, like a goblet of water.
Yep.
But you could also have You know, you could have a painting of a beautiful seascape. You could have a statue of a mermaid. You could have anything that represents water to you, a beautiful seashell, of those things that are going to invoke the ocean.
I've got it. And, you know, I was just sitting there, and just as you were starting to talk, I thought, oh, no, I don't have any of this. And then it suddenly came to me.
I do.
Of course I do. I've got a whole friggin' ocean, because I've always said to myself, I'm not Pamela Anderson Baywatching myself down the beach. Never have been. Like, that's just not going to happen. I've got freckles. I'm kidding myself. But I always have to live near the ocean. And any time that I haven't lived near the ocean and I've got too urban, I get squirrely. And I literally am a 5-minute walk from the ocean. And totally, that's like my spare bedroom is the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, I've got
So healing. Mm. So you definitely want to have that. And so that balances you from side to side. And then from front to back, you have the element of air. And air represents the mind.
Yeah.
It's all of your thoughts. It's how you communicate. It's what you're thinking. And that's the area for most people that's where we carry our stress.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we carry, you know, all of our worries, our anxieties, our fears. They're swirling around in our mind. We're overthinking. And really, that's probably the area that benefits the most from having a nice, beautiful space.
Yes.
So the things that are represented by the element of air represent anything that is carried on a wave. So if you imagine a wave that goes through the air, like a light wave or a sound wave, then those are the things that will correspond to that element. So that means any kind of beautiful music or sound, any kind of beautiful color, and then also, and that's where the incense, the candles, anything that has aromatherapy, all of that's going to represent your air element. Mm-hmm. If it's going through the air, it's representing that. And even if you have like a fan on your ceiling, that's going to be the air element. And just think about those are the things that help you to air everything out, air out your, you know, all that stuff that's going on in your mind.
Yes. Okay.
So, you have that, and then your final element is the earth element. And the earth element in your body is the most practical, it's the most physical part of your body, and it has to do with being able to feel strong, to feel grounded, and, you know, that's how we can make good choices about what we eat, and just the most sort of practical part of ourselves.
Yeah.
So the earth element can really be represented in your space by anything that comes from the earth. Now, in my case, that's going to be the crystals.
Yes.
Because I'm so in love with all of the beautiful crystals. The crystals for me, bringing those into my space are the most elevated and the most beautiful form of the earth element, but it can also be beautiful plant that you love, anything, you know, sometimes even like a big piece of driftwood or, you know, anything that is wood or plant or crystal, even something that is metal from the earth. All of those things can represent that earth element. But, you know, something natural, you know?
You know what I found, just when you talked about crystals, I have them along my window ledge and, you know, I just do really love them. And I don't even know why I love them. I just do. But speaking of not knowing why you love something, what I think is really cute that I've found with kids these days is they seem to be showing more interest. And I don't know, they're somehow guiding their parents to these stores, but somehow kids seem to be more aware and interested in crystals. I don't remember ever having crystals as a kid. I don't know a lot of people that, I don't remember any of my friends showing me crystals. I don't remember it being a thing, but I have heard a lot of people say that whatever this little generation of kids are at the moment, they know about crystals and they want them.
Yeah, I agree. I've totally been seeing that.
Yeah.
I think it's very true, you know, and so many people that come to House of Intuition, which we have all kinds of beautiful crystals from all over the world there. And, oh, the kids, they're totally drawn to them. And, you know, I think that if you see that those are this very, very beautiful really, you know, gift from nature, gift from God. And the fact that sometimes they're so stunning that you look at it and you think, how could this have just come out of the ground?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
How is this not something man-made?
Yeah.
And when we're in a time when we have so much technology, which a lot of that technology does actually use crystals, if you think about it, you know,
true.
It's they're in phones and computers. We have so much technological stuff and so much that is man-made that to balance that, it doesn't surprise me that people would be going to the opposite end of the spectrum to
especially
say,
kids.
Yes, you know, I love to have, yeah.
That is so intuitive.
They'll be more drawn to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, totally.
That is the weird thing, isn't it? A lot of parents, I don't think, realize that their children are way more intuitive than they are because their kind of life baggage hasn't gotten in the way. And I think for them,
right.
And that's why, you know, they'll naturally march into it. They don't need you to say, oh, okay, sweetheart, we'll get the nice lady to teach you, you know, teach us what these crystals are all about. They don't need that. They go straight to the ones they want and they go, I want this one. And they know. And what,
yes.
You know?
And as adults, we should be doing the same thing.
We should be following the kids.
You know, people always ask me, which crystal do I need? I'm working on this. I'm working, you know, this is what my problem is. What crystal can help me? Mm. And 9 times out of 10, if I tell that person, go over to the shelf and you see what you're drawn to, what's catching your eye, what are you naturally kind of feeling is calling out to you? Every single time somebody does that and they're like, well, I do like this one, that's the exact stone that I would have recommended for them.
Isn't that beautiful?
So when we just give ourselves a chance, and so easy for kids to do, we really can figure out what is going to be best for us without having to, you know, consult a book or ask somebody else's advice. It's really true.
Back in 2007, I'd moved to a new city and was working in radio. Understandably, there was a presumption, I'm sure, by anyone that knew me in my new city and my work colleagues, that I was a pretty confident, bubbly kind of girl. After all, I was putting myself out there to people all over the state every morning. So after about a year of being in my new state, I was asked to MC a huge charity lunch. It was one of those annual events on the social calendar, and it was an event that saw 400 women, yes, terrifying enough, wearing hats and drinking champagne and Chardonnay. Now, I'm a woman, so I can say this, but do you know what women get like when they're excited, wearing a hat, at a social event, and drinking champagne and Chardonnay? They get chatty. They get very chatty. And you'd have to be Michelle Obama to get in a word sometimes. So I accepted the invitation to MC the event, and then I pretty much stressed and fantasised about how awful it might be right up until the big day. Right up until the day, I woke up on that particular day of the event with huge anxiety. Because the thing was, I'd been to these events before. I'd seen the most well-respected newsreaders in town stand up there as an MC, and these women had talked all over her every single time she stepped onto stage. It was terrible. It was so rude. And this woman had to almost scream and swear at them to get them to shut up, because they needed to raise money. That's why they were there. I decided in the weeks leading up to the event that I had to call in the big guns. I had to call in Archangel Michael, who I'd recently met, well, been told about by a local healer. I called on him to protect me on the day, protect me from the Chardonnay pack, help me calm my nerves so I could remember my role, help me remove my anxiety so I didn't end up on the stage humiliated in front of 400 women. What ended up happening was something I'll never forget. It was one of the most surreal moments of my life.
So, Naha, I just want to talk a little bit more about that experience, because it really was, I'll never forget it. And I did go on a bit of a whim to start talking to this, you know, Archangel Michael. I'd never done that before. I'm not a religious person. Like, it's not, that kind of thing didn't come naturally, especially as the healer had said, I promise you, this is going to be what you need to do. And so, she said that I needed to call on Archangel Michael, and I had to call on him to protect me as I walked through the doors of that event, that I needed him to protect me and allow me to be the best version of myself and to protect me from other people's energies. And I can't remember all the detail. Now, I did that a couple of times leading into that week, and I thought, oh God, I've still got anxiety. Okay. But I kept trying to have faith. I kept trying to push through the faith.
Yeah.
even that morning, at the minute I woke up and I had to do my breakfast radio show that morning, I had anxiety right through that thing. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a nightmare, because I kept fearing I was going to end up written up badly in the paper and then everyone would kind of see me for the phony that I was. And I think also it's hard, like women can be amazing with each other, but they can also tear other women down. And I was fearing the worst, because I had been to one of these events and they were pretty intense, and they showed no respect to, you know, these senior newsreaders that were so much more, you know, graceful and experienced than me. So, you know, the minute I finished my show, as I was driving to the event, I said, Archangel Michael, please, please be here with me today. All I ask you to do is take away my anxiety and protect me, you know, protect me so I can do a good job today and I can show those women, you know, that I'm worthy, which obviously shows a lot of insecurities in itself. Well, I'm not joking. I had high-level anxiety all with me as I got out of the car, as I got my car parking ticket, as I walked up the stairs to the Hilton, as I said, which room are we in today for this event? As I hit that doorway into that huge conference function space, and I've still got anxiety, and as I open those doors and I see this massive room, no one in it yet, but obviously set up for 400 people, and I see crew running around doing setting up the stage and doing all that sort of stuff, my anxiety completely went. It literally disappeared in a second. Now, what happened that day? So then I went, I notice you've gone. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to start getting up myself, because maybe you'll be back and nobody's even arrived yet. So I'm just going to go softly, softly, softly. Well, I went, I thought I'll go and calmly just choose someone and just say, hello, I'm here. Where would you, you know, like me? I'll go get out of the way and I'll just go and read my script. So I did sort of that, and I made sure I was also protective, you know, calm with myself. I wasn't trying to sort of, you know, I allowed myself that I need a bit of space. I don't need to get caught up in too much of the goings on. People started arriving. Yeah. I went, how do I feel? They're all arriving in their hats. They're getting ready to drink their Chardonnay. Okay, no, I'm still okay. They're all seated. I get ready to go out on stage for the first break, and I go out there and I'm totally okay. I'm completely calm, like I've done it 450 times. Like, these 400 women are all my oldest best friends. Not one of them spoke. I got off stage. I went, that went bizarrely well. The day cranks up. They're getting into their Chardonnays. As I explained, they, you know, they knock them back and they all talk at once. And they showed this previous MC's so little respect. It was awful. She got very, very upset and actually said, excuse me. Sorry, ladies, we're here for a reason. She actually got really pissed off with them. Anyway, it was so awkward. And of course, I'm sitting there rotting, going, oh, this is so awkward. You know, this would, I would just hate to be doing this, not knowing that one day I'd be doing it. I'm not joking. There was probably six or more times that I had to step out on that stage. Every time I stepped out onto that stage, those women shut up. And it was bizarre. So all I can say is, whatever that whole calling in the right archangel, because there's different archangels I've worked out that, you know, can help you with different things. But man, that Michael, did he show up on the day?
It was up for you.
It was extraordinary. And I think it had to be that extreme for me to never forget it. So I do it in the future. So I just.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's something that you said about that you had to just go ahead and have faith about this. Mm. I mean, that's really what it is. And it's not just about having faith in, can this thing, can if I do what this person's telling me to do, and if I call on this angelic energy, I've got to just have some faith in the process that that's going to do something. But really, ultimately, it was about also having faith in yourself. Mm. And maybe that was a way for you to get there. Because when you were sitting in that worst case scenario, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster. They're going to be disrespectful, and then they're going to write about it, and then I'm going to look terrible. All of those things.
Because I was going to say, I was a newspaper columnist at the time too. So my creative brain was even writing headlines, like as if they're going to actually write a headline. But I'm talking gossip section, right? I'm writing headlines for what's going to happen the next day, which was, oh dear. deer. Deer spelled D-E-E-R. And then my face, like deer in the headlights. And then this write-up right. of how yeah. shit I was. That's what mm-hmm. I was doing to myself.
That's so classic. You were writing tomorrow's headlines. And really all that it was conjecture and it was speculation that you were going to do terrible. And by having this moment to say, I have to call on Archangel Michael to be with me now, to protect me now in this moment, you're bringing yourself back into the current moment. You're yeah. taking yourself from being in that, what's it going to be like when I'm up there, or what are they going to be thinking? What are they going to say? What are they going to write about me? Pulling your awareness back from all of that stuff, because that hasn't even happened yet,
no.
to be now here in this moment and to say, well, right now I'm here, you know, I'm getting myself prepared. And sure, you're still in that anxiety, but at least you're in the moment. And you're not going ahead of yourself. And then when you walked out on that stage, you were able to be completely present. And you were able to feel that presence. You know, I called on this, on Archangel Michael, and I can see the results. And then once you've seen it once, and you can trust it, and you can say, wow, this, you know, that really did come to bat for me, then you can build off of that. That's how you can create. And I think this is another thing you had mentioned, which was creating a ritual, which means doing it consistently.
Yeah,
it didn't take just you doing it one time, 5 seconds before you went out on stage. You started doing it when you were back in the car and days before and, you know, beginning that process.
I think, yes. So slowly I have introduced ritual into my life, and it's something that I'd really love other people to sort of learn, because I know a lot of people have anxiety and issues in their workspace, you know. Obviously we always talk about relationships and the difficulty of relationships, but I think we don't often share that we often have really difficult times at work. And I've had, you know, which is what I'd really love to be able to sort of get a little bit of your knowledge for other people listening to sort of go, oh, okay, that sounds weird, but I'm going to try that. You know, that's, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give it a go. I'm, you know, it's a new year, and I'm sort of anxious that the same games that might be played, you know, that were playing out last year in the workspace, and the same people that gave me anxiety, or the same people that might have been passive aggressively bullying them and stuff like that. I want, because I had a situation not that long ago where I had some girls that were bullying me in a way that they were just ignoring me. And they knew what they were doing, and they were blocking me. And unfortunately, there was a whole lot of other lovely girls there, but they were sitting behind all of these girls, and I was fairly new. And this energetic wall, you know, like a moat, was sort of put round, so I couldn't get to the girls that were open to me. And it was very difficult. And so in terms of doing that ritual, I would wake up in the morning and I would make sure that I get up a little bit earlier. I would take my dog to the park. I would take my shoes off and connect with nature. I would do that version of a meditation where it's simply just noticing the wind and the sun and the clouds and the trees. But then I would actually I've got quite a lot of oracle decks, and I would look at my oracle decks and I'd say, okay, which one do I need? Because I do need something that's going to help me today. And I would choose the oracle deck. And then I would go and pull a card, and I would say, please help me today. What is it that I need to learn about this situation that so that I can have some peace in this? I pulled some incredible cards and some incredible messages, but that really got me through that period, I have to be honest.
Yeah, I love that.
It was something very simple.
Yeah. Well, it has to be. And that's, you know, and even, you know, all of those elemental aspects that we talked about earlier, that's totally present in what it is that you mentioned, being able to go to connect to nature. That's a huge part of it. Being able to just give yourself a moment to receive a message and to even ask that question, what is it that I need to hear? What do I need to know to feel that I can move into my day?
And that's
really what a ritual is really, it's just, there's not that much difference between a ritual and a routine.
Yes.
And we all have our routines that we have, you know, I get up in the morning, I make myself some coffee, I do my thing, I sit in traffic. Well, that can be your routine, but if you decide to actually intentionally create and put something into that that is going to break up some of those unhealthy patterns, you're actually creating a ritual.
Yeah.
And the more that you do it, what you're building in your life is you're building consistency. And consistency flows directly into your confidence. And then when you're feeling good and you're feeling confident because you've been doing, the more that you do something and the more that you are consistent, automatically, the better you're going to feel about yourself.
We've talked about how to create a sacred living space. We've talked about how to create a sacred working space. But I, for one, know that that's all well and good. But if I haven't had a good night's sleep, especially a few of them in a row, as has been the case this week for me, I either want to throw myself onto the ground like a child and wail until my mummy picks me up and gives me a cuddle and a Kinder surprise, or I want to stand on the mountaintop and breathe fire onto the world so the tops of all of your heads get singed a little. Nothing that won't grow back, just a little frizzled on the ends. Anyway, last night I went to an old friend's house for dinner. One of their cute as a button sons had been struggling to sleep night after night. He's been woken up with bad dreams that he finds hard to get back to sleep after. And he seems to be waking up at exactly the same time every night, or morning that is. 3:33 exactly. The day before last, my friend and his wife went into a little shop in Glebe in Sydney, where they bought the ingredients for a little magic spell that they hoped would break the awful pattern of his sleep issues. So they put little moon crystals, rose petals, rosemary, valerian and water into a little dish, and they left it in his room. And that night, bless him, he slept like a baby right through the night. And it made me think, I need to get some of that gear real quick. So, Naha, sure. there we go. How does something as simple as what my friends did for their child end up with a kid that sleeps through the night?
Mm-hmm. Well, the key word there is going to be tranquility, and it's putting together a combination of elements that all create the aspect of the feeling of tranquility. So having the water, having the rose petals, and all of those things combining together to just, you're not trying to put anything energetic out there. You just want to create tranquility and keep anything else out of the bedroom. Another thing that I like to do for being able to have a good night's sleep is just to imagine a ring of white light around the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that around your sacred space too, that once you cross that light barrier, mm-hmm. all of your worries of the day, everything else, you don't bring it into that space. You leave it outside of that white light space.
Yeah.
So that you absolutely can change the tone of the room in order to make the room itself more tranquil so that the child can sleep through the night, so that you can get a better night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And you can use very simple things like really, really sweet white light crystals, clear crystal quartz, selenite, even those Himalayan salt lamps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're
are
beautiful.
So good to create that nice
light.
Yeah, that nice, tranquil energy, and to allow the room that you sleep in to be used just for that. I mean, that's really key. I know a lot of people, they like to stay up late working on the computer, sitting up in bed, and really you want to keep that stuff out of the bedroom.
That the intention is for that room to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's so important. Just before we go, 3:33... Is there anything significant as that in terms of that as his sort of, you know, oh God, you know, here I am again and I'm awake and I've just had these awful dreams? Anything going on with that?
Well, whenever we see those numbers and they come in succession, and for one person it might be 3:33, for another person it might be 11:11. What I see those as, and it's very subjective in terms of what does this number exactly mean, and one person might say it's an angel number or means this or that. The way that I take it is that it's something that's going to catch your attention.
Yeah, okay.
And if it's catching your attention, you have to ask yourself, does that mean that in this moment I'm supposed to be paying attention to something?
Yeah.
And usually I will just take it as an opportunity to say, oh, I see you. My attention is caught. I might stop myself for a moment and just let myself be observant. What's going on right now in my mind, in my heart, in my immediate surroundings? Mm. And just as a point to be able to be paying attention, then continuing doing whatever we're doing, it can cause a little shift there. Sometimes I just take it as a little wink from the universe
yeah.
to say, hey, you're right where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
You are on track and you're paying attention. Now, if it's a situation where it's like, oh, I wake up every and it's the same time, that's a little tip from the universe telling you, you need to address this.
I agree.
It's not just random.
No. And I actually think that my friends did address it really beautifully because they've got three boys.
Mm-hmm.
They're all completely different. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that this one might be a little more highly sensitive than the others. And I just think
yes.
it's almost about saying, you're going to have to put more focus always on this child's mm-hmm. sleeping and environment because he's sensensitive to his surroundings. And I think that was really cute mm-hmm. what they did, and they did it so quickly. And
love it.
So nice with the results. Just before you go, my final question to you, Naha, mm-hmm. is what do you wish the world would know more about the importance of rituals and creating a sacred space in their lives?
Well, I think that I really want people to see that it's not that they have to make these huge drastic changes. Sometimes it's just doing the things that we're naturally finding ourselves doing, but doing it with a little bit more intention mm-hmm. and asking yourself, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
And then just being able to be consistent with that. And the other thing I'd like just like to mention and is that it's the things that we have to work through, it's the challenges that we're faced with, that we actually, once we overcome those things, that is where the real value in all of this lies. It's not just in saying, oh, life is just a walk in the park, but saying, you know what, there are things that I need to address. There's anxieties I need to let go of. I do want to have less stress and less worry in my life. And when you create some space and when you do some rituals and you actually move through those things, then you're going to feel twice as good.
Yeah.
You're going to look back and you're going to say, actually, I have gratitude now for the fact that I had to go through all of that because that brought me closer to myself.
That's
that
so
gave
beautiful.
Me a relationship with this beautiful archangelic energy.
Yeah.
That forced me to actually sit down
yes.
and do some meditation and become a more intentional person. So all of that can really push you to just finally go for it.
So beautiful. Naha, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Just beautiful. You have a Facebook people can find you at?
I do.
Or
people
website.
Can find me.
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah, I'm on YouTube, 22 Teachings. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Naha99. There's not a lot of Nahas out there in the world, so you can find me.
Very unique. Good. Oh, thank
yeah.
you so much. And I look forward to seeing you next time I'm in LA. And
I'll see you at House of Intuition next time you're in town. Yeah, great.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you so much.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye, Naha.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this episode of The Wise Guides, we'd love you to share it with your friends and subscribe to the show to receive more like this by heading to iTunes or novafm.com.au. This episode was written by me, Amber Petty, and produced in the Nova Entertainment Podcast Studios. Executive producer Andy Milne, audio engineering by Matt Argoon.
Hello.